Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. God, I thank you, Lord. You know exactly where we are. You know the moments that we're on the mountain. You know the moments that we're in the valley. You know the battles that we're facing today, God. So I thank you, Lord, that you would help us because you are the God that wins every battle. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you just speak faith and encouragement to each and every person. Maybe they're going through something today, but I pray that they would find answers in your presence and in your word today as we talk about this. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen.
Well, in our church and in churches around the world, everywhere, people come together to worship God. But when the music gets started, people respond to worship all kinds of different ways. You know, some people clap along, some people sing, some people sway, some people dance, some people stand still or even sit down in their chairs. So what is the big deal? What is the difference, you know, because we all have these different ways and see different people worshiping and a range of things, from people being completely still to people being extravagant with the way that they're celebrating God. Some see the praise portion of the service as very important, while others may be asking themselves, what's the point? So this series that we're going into is called Worship, What's the Point? Because I know sometimes we come and we ask, well, what's the point of all this? You know, some people get really excited. Some people are singing really loud. Some people are even moving around. And what's all this about? So I want to take a look at that today, look at somebody and ask them, worship, what's the point? I hope you have fun with this today, because I'm going to have fun. I came here to have fun in God. 2 Samuel 6, 14 through 16. I want to give you a little bit of a story here, a little bit of a background. It says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy, blowing the ram's horn. And for those that don't know, the ark was where they kept the Ten Commandments. They kept some of the most precious and valuable artifacts. And the ark of God was, it was not only symbolic of the presence of God, the ark of God was where the presence of God, wherever the ark was, the presence of God was. So it was a very holy and special and sacred thing to the people of Israel. And so they bring up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Micah, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. And this is such a great snapshot of David's life. And I wanted to take a moment to just unpack it and pose this question. Worship, what's the point? What's the point of all the singing, all the dancing that David was doing here? Is it really necessary, or is this just David? Is this his personality? Because I think we can do that, right? We can look at this and say, well, maybe this is just David. You have Micah on the other extreme. To Micah, all of David's dancing and wild praising just looks like extra. You're just doing too much. It's just too much. And Micah was raised as a princess in the royal family of Saul and was David's wife, right? But she takes one look at what David is doing and she said, you're doing too much. And, well, at the very least, his dancing and carrying on did not make sense to her. So who was right? Was it David? Was it Micah? Or is the truth somewhere in the middle? If I could just give a backstory to this little bit, go a little bit earlier, because in 2 Samuel 5, David becomes the king of all of Israel, and it was a long journey for him, right? So at first, he's just the shepherd, you know, tending the sheep, and then he becomes the hero of Israel that kills Goliath, right? And then he becomes very important to the king, but then he becomes an outlaw because the king gets jealous of him, right? And then the king finally dies, and he becomes the king, but only of a portion of Israel. And then he becomes, 7 years later, the king of all of Israel. And so, after a seven-year war, right? So he goes from being a shepherd to a king. So I guess you might say that David had some reason to praise, right? David had some reason to get excited, right? And maybe this is the reason for why David would behave like this in worship. Maybe all of his extravagant, over-the-top singing and dancing was due to having some real highs and lows in his life, right? Going from all by himself, maybe even forgotten as a shepherd boy, to the hero everybody celebrating, to the outlaw that the whole kingdom is pursuing, trying to capture and maybe even kill, right? Back to celebrated again as king, highs and lows. But consider how you feel in your highest or lowest moment. I want you, just for a second, in your greatest level of gratitude or desperation, how you felt. We see in David someone that took his darkest moments and cried out to God, and that was the essence of his worship. And we also see he took his high moments, and those became his ecstatic displays of worship. So I would say that it's difficult, of course, to compare one person's life to another. Maybe you've never been on the run from the law. Hopefully. But you have had highs and lows, right? And if you can think about those highs and lows, and everybody has had them, right? David looked at grief and devastation through the lens of his relationship with God. Wow. David looked at his successes and victories through the lens of his relationship with God. Every low moment, he channeled it into a conversation with God. I would say, what a productive way to handle your low moments. Instead of beating yourself up or trying to bust your head, trying to figure out what the solution is, to go to God first and say, this is my low moment. God, I am at a low moment. Or God, I'm at the lowest of low that I've ever been. Or when we're at that high place, what better way than to say, God, thank you. God, I'm grateful for everything that you've done. And this is essentially what David did with his lowest lows and his highest highs. Actually, scripture said, this is the way David articulated, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So his strategy, his thought process, his framework of mind was, whether it's a high moment or a low moment, I'm going to praise. If it's a low moment, I'm going to cry out in desperation to God. If it's a low moment, if it's a high moment, I'm going to give all the praise and all the, I'm going to do it with everything that I've got. And everything in between, I'm going to find a reason and I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I believe there's a model in David's life that we need to grab a hold of. I don't believe that these are just stories of a person named David laid out for us, that we say, wow, David was a great man. But that's David. That's not me. That's not how I work. That's great. That's great for David. Because I think sometimes we can do that with biblical characters. We can say, oh, well, that's Moses. But that's great for Moses because that's Moses. And I think sometimes that's what we do with these concepts of worship. We say, that's David. But, David had a lot to celebrate, or David had some crazy highs and lows, so, that's just David. I think there's principles that we'll miss if we walk away and just say, well, that's just David. I believe whether we're in a high moment or a low moment in our life, we need to ask ourselves, how can I process this moment through my relationship with God? How can I process this through my relationship with God? If I'm in a low moment, how can I turn and seek God for real answers? How can I express that? Or when I'm in a high moment, How can I honor him with exuberant praise and express over-the-top gratitude? And David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Micah had a different thought process on worship. She was a daughter of a king, and it was just different, right? Different perspective. And maybe it was because she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. And you might not appreciate things the same way that a shepherd boy that came from just an average outskirts. He's in the boondocks, right? Not in the palace, just eighth son, eighth in line for anything, out in the field when he said, hey, we want to pray over people. Samuel's at the house. He wants to pray for people. Bring your sons in. They bring in all seven sons except for the eighth son left in the field, David.
Right.
So David came from a simple shepherding family. David did not come from royalty. David did not come from money. So everything that God did for David, he appreciated. If you think about it this way, the mentality that Micah had was an entitlement mentality. I do this, I'm royalty, I deserve this. And everything that God did for David, he was thankful, he was grateful, and that caused a chain reaction in his life. Please grab a hold of this. He was thankful, he was grateful, it caused a chain reaction. And gratitude and praise that David gave caused God to release favor and more blessing to him. Praise and gratitude to God releases favor and blessing from God. And this is a key point why we do what we do. We talk about worship. Why? What's the point? Because gratitude and honor and thanksgiving releases favor and blessing. And now you start to understand David's epic rise to prestige and to honor and to kingship. Why? Because he released gratitude and thanksgiving and honor to God in such an extravagant way, God said, I'm going to have to release something back on you. So worship, what's the point? Because there's an exchange. I'm giving honor. I'm giving gratitude in an extravagant way, and God begins to, in an extravagant way, give favor and blessing. If you won $1 million today, chances are you would probably not sit still. I'm thinking maybe you would run a lap around the church, or you would at least give somebody a hard hug and a high five so much that your hand stings. Have you been ever there that you were celebrating like this, that you were giving high fives and your hand was stinging? I believe if you won $1 million, you would be yelling or screaming or crying. There would be some exuberant display, right? If the Dolphins won the Super Bowl, you would probably not sit still, right? If the Miami Heat, for whatever reason, won the finals. Somebody's giving an amen. We got some amens, some extra amens now. You wouldn't sit still. You would probably shout, or you would yell, or you would do something, right? I don't know why it is that when we approach God, sometimes we just do it quiet and solemn, and that perspective. And I find that it lacks emotion. And believe it or not, God gave us emotions so that we could express ourselves. So my personal perspective is that we should give our very best of our emotions to God. If God created emotions, he wants you to use them, and he wants you to use them in a good way. I can't think of any other better way to use my emotions than in worship to God. If we believe in the principle of tithing, giving the first part of everything that we have to God, doesn't that include your emotions? So then I say, I want to give the first part and the best part of my emotions to God. Think about that for a second. That more than weeping over some soap opera or going to some movie or being enthralled with some celebrity and crying in tears at their concert, make sure that you give the first part and the best part of your emotions to God. If you're going to get excited about anything, give the first part and the best part to God. If you're going to cheer for anything in your life, give the first part and the best part to God. That's the concept of the tithe, is I'm going to give the first part and the best part of whatever it is to God because I'm honoring God. And so, if we understand that I'm going to give the first part and the best part, and this is my perspective, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the first part and the best part, but I might not stop there. I might go a little extra. If I feel good, I might just go a little extra in my praise and in my worship and in my emotions towards God. And I believe that is the revelation that David had. And I want to circle back and say, I do believe there's a time and a place to be solemn and quiet and reverent before the Lord. Don't get me wrong. There's a time for that, but there's also a time, just as much as there is a time to be reverent and quiet and solemn before the God, there's a time to be loud. There's a time to be wild. There's a time to be ecstatic before God. When I used to play sports growing up, I still play sports. They're just not as organized as they were before. Sometimes I would yell. Sometimes I would run. Sometimes I'd get excited. Sometimes I'd get angry. Sometimes I'd get mad. Sometimes I'd get overwhelmed and cry. Any athletes ever been there? All right. So I had a whole range of emotions on the athletic field. Some people love the Lord. They just lack range. For whatever reason, they never developed range in honoring God, right? They know how to do one side or the thing in the middle or this other extreme, but they don't, maybe they're just, they only know how to be quiet and solemn before the Lord. They don't know how to be extravagant and wild before the Lord. Or maybe they know how to be wild and loud, but they don't know how to be solemn before the Lord. They lack range. Would you watch a movie with someone that was always speaking monotone? Would you want to watch that movie? Or you watch a movie and the person is happy from the beginning part to the whole end of the movie. No, there's no journey. Or the person is just sad the entire movie. You're like, come on, man, get happy, get excited, have a different emotion. We were designed to express a range of emotions. And in worship, God desires a relationship with his sons and daughters that has range. Quiet, loud, happy, sad, dancing, still, all of it. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. You see, Micah only wanted to express a royal, regal persona. But David said something, sometimes you have to get wild and crazy for God. And if you don't like that, he tells Micah, too bad. He said, because I'm going to get even crazier than this. What you saw today, that I'm just getting warmed up. When it comes to how I honor God and how I praise God and how extravagant I will get with my worship, just buckle in because you never know. Somebody came to me a little while back ago and they started to apologize for dancing in the altar. And I said, stop right there. Just stop. Stop it. I said, don't ever apologize to me for worshiping and praising and honoring God. And that's what we live for. I love it. David did not hold back when it came to worship and his relationship with God. and David didn't care who was watching. Consider this. It's something to consider. David had an image to uphold as the king, and he did not care. He didn't care about that. David cared most about his relationship with God. Micah cared most about what people thought. And you can see this difference in their exchange. David comes back with this major accomplishment. We finally got the Ark of the Lord back into the capital city. Now God's really going to bless us. So we're praising. And Micah says, what are you doing? I love this. It says that David came into the city dancing with all his might. I want you to underline that in your Bible. David came into the city worshiping the Lord with all his might. It doesn't say with all his dancing skills. I don't even know what that looks like, dancing with all your might. Guys, ladies, family, it's not about skill. Anybody can dance with all their might. Anybody can shout with all their might. And it says David comes in, he's dancing with all his might. So I want you to go home and think about what that even looks like for you. Dancing with all your might. Worshiping with all your might. Praising with all your might. And think about when you step foot into not just this sanctuary, but any moment with God, I want you to think about your range. Anywhere from silent reverence before God, sitting in his presence, face down, sitting down, or all your might. What does that look like? Gonna see it Friday night. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to be a dancer to dance with all your might. Second Samuel 6:20, David comes in after having danced before the Lord with all his might, and Micah says in the most sarcastic voice that you could probably imagine, wow, look at the king. Weren't you regal today? I'm telling you, there's nobody that can cut you down by somebody that, like somebody close to you. And this is why you got to know who you are in God. Because David was not, it didn't change his opinion one bit. And she says, all the girls in the town were looking at you as you put on a spectacle today. And David gets a little heated, as he probably should. And his response to Michael is, look, woman. I translated that for you. You're welcome. Look, woman. I'll get even more undignified than this when it comes to the way I honor God. Even in front of the people, I'll get crazier and I'll get more wild if I feel that's what it takes to bring honor to God in that moment. And that's what the pursuit is for us as worshipers. What does it take in this moment to bring God the honor that he deserves for what he's done in your life, for what he's done in our city, for what he's done in our nation, for what he's done in the world, for what he's done for mankind, for what he's done for your family? What do you feel in this moment is the honor that God deserves? And that's how you discern what you should be doing in the moment. He says, I could even care less what people think when it comes on to how I display my worship. David said, even in front of the people, even in front of the people I lead, even in front of the people, even in front of my employees, even in front of my coworkers, even in front of those people I look up to, even in front of people in my aisle, I could care less what they think about my worship. And, you know, I've been singing on stages since I was small. And I've learned I learned a couple things about singing to God and leading worship. And there comes a time that you have to ask yourself, whose approval is more important to me? Because that's what it comes down to, right? Whose approval is more important to me? Is God's approval of my worship more important, or is my neighbor's approval of my worship more important to me? Is how God thinks about me more important, or is how I think about me more important? And, you know, I had to sit with that question for years. Because I started singing, and I didn't have it all together at the beginning. But I sat with that question, and I understand it's easier to say that than to do it. But as somebody who's done it, I can stand up here and say this, right? I had to sit with that truth and let that truth work on me to get me to the place of undignified worship. It didn't just happen, right? It didn't just happen. I've had conversations with our kids because we're talking about worship in the home, right? So I had to sit with that truth, let that truth work on me to get me to the place of undignified worship. It takes courage to worship God without caring what other people think. Right? It takes boldness to get outside of yourself and say, this is not about me. This is about God. This is about what I want to give God today. So I'm coming in here asking myself a question, not what other people are thinking, what I feel like I need to give to God today. What I want to give to God today. What I feel is due to God in my relationship with Him. What does He deserve? What do I feel is appropriate? And so I sat with that. And this is about what you want to give to God. And it doesn't get there overnight, right? It's a process of continuing to take steps and reminding yourself, this is not about my ego. This is not about my image. It's about my worship to God, right? We're talking about what's the point. This is the process behind what's the point, right? I care more about what God thinks than I care about what others think. And you get what you practice. Think about this for a second. You get what you practice. David started practicing worship in the field. David started practicing worship in his home long before he danced down the street as the king of Jerusalem. Think about that for a second. First, he danced alone with God before he danced before the people. If you're not willing to take the first step, there will never be that climactic moment. If you never take the first step, you'll never get to that place of accomplishment, right? When you see David's epic rise from a nobody to the leading man of Israel, it was directly connected to his worship and how he pursued God. And he pursued God regardless of what anybody else said or thought. Why do we sing and dance and get excited before the Lord? Because it's not about us. It's not about our ego or pride or image. It's about God. And this is the thing that it's this counterintuitive dynamic of our relationship with God. If you will lay your pride and your ego and your honor down, God will give you back more honor than you can possibly imagine. It's because David laid his honor and his ego down that God gave him more honor and more prestige and more glory and more fame and more riches and more victories. But it's that counterintuitive nature, right? If you want to gain the world, you have to lay down what? You have to lay down yourself. You have to lay down your life. So why do we do this? Because it's not about us. It's about laying down our pride, our image, our ego. It's about God. God deserves the honor. God deserves the praise. God deserves the best of our emotions more than any sports team or celebrity. I worship God because God deserves the honor, the esteem, and the best of me. I want you to go home and let this truth sit with you. I want every time that you're worshiping by yourself, or you're worshiping with others, or you're worshiping here at the church, I want you to sit with this truth and let this truth work on you, because it will change you. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just singing in my shower when nobody hears me, but I will bless the Lord at any occasion that I feel God deserves the glory in that moment. I will dance, not just in my kitchen. I will dance. I will bless the Lord at all times. Will you bow your head with me today? God, I thank you for the honor. Thank you, God, for taking us on this amazing journey to self-discovery, to realize it's not about us. It's not about how we feel. It's about our relationship with you and what you deserve. You deserve the honor. You deserve the gratitude. You deserve the praise. You deserve the quiet moments, but you also deserve the loud moments. You deserve the quiet singing. You also deserve the loud singing. The stoic moments and the wild dancing. You deserve it all. And Jesus, you said, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's worship. God, take us on a journey to discover what true worship is. God, thank you for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. I feel something. I feel like I need to reconnect with him today. I feel like I need to connect with him maybe for the first time. If either of those are you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. There's something so important about connecting with him. Amen. 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 If that's you, don't miss this opportunity. Slip up your hand. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to connect. I don't know if I've ever really connected with him. Or you say, I need to reconnect. If either of that is you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray this prayer with you. You can pray this with me. Everybody that agrees with this, you can pray this too. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me, even when my life is messy. Thank you for loving me, even when I've been sinning. I'm sorry for the moments I drifted away from you and made mistakes and sinned. I need your help. Jesus, forgive me. Apply the perfect work of the cross to my life. Give me a fresh start today. I want you to walk with me, to lead me, to help me. I surrender the control to you. I want you to be in control. I want you to show me how to live a life that pleases God. Walk with me, Jesus. Connect me with the right people to encourage me as I'm on this journey with you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. It's such a powerful thing to go on a journey with God. And if you said, I'm going on a journey with God, or you recommitted to go on the journey with God, I'm so excited for you. Get connected. Get connected with some people around here, or get in a small group, or get in relationship. Get somebody's phone number. It's so important to get connected, because when you go on a journey of faith with others, there's encouragement there. There's prayer there. Right? And you just get stronger and you're safer when you're together in the body. Amen? I want to tell you, this week is going to be powerful. It's going to be a week of worship. It's going to be a week of prayer. It's going to be a week of celebration. It's going to be a week of community where we come together and we have a great time. And I'd like to invite you again to fast with us. I want to challenge you. Press into God and get something greater than you've ever gotten before. Experience something new in God. Whether you're going on a full fast or you're going on the Daniel fast or you're just fasting certain things. Maybe you're fasting social media or movies or music right now, secular music. Fast something. Go on a journey with us. Get up a little bit early. Get on the Zoom link. Pray with us at 6 o'clock. We're going to be on the line praying. You can get the link online. It's on the app. It will be on the app by tonight. It'll be on there. Plug in and get something from God. This is one of those moments where you can have accelerated growth. And I'm believing that God is going to give you breakthrough, breakthrough in your family, breakthrough in your finances, breakthrough in your health. You're going to get breakthrough in your spirit, being able to see things that you never seen with clarity. Amen? I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.